Revelation chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who is to come, who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all of the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, he who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, both your brother and companion in tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice, as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches, which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. All right, we'll start right off here with verse 1, reading verse 1 again. Actually reading verses 1 and 2. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he went and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. All throughout the book of Revelation, you see a lot of God the Father, and Jesus Christ together throughout the book. After the resurrection, Christ went and sat at the right hand of God. It says in Mark 16:19. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. So it was immediate. Being presently with the Father, a revelation to Christ by the Father. A revelation was given to Christ by the Father, and to the angel, and to this, and from the angel to John. Matthew 11:27 says, "All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him." The passage takes time to emphasize this small detail. You might ask why. John was one of the men who bore witness to the word of God that came in the flesh. The word in the flesh is Christ, as we read in John 1:14. You might want to jot that down in your notes if you're taking notes there. The message comes from the Father, that is God, Father, and then it goes to the Son. John not only saw, but bore witness of what he saw, and then he shared it. John was a simple man, but what changed him was being with Jesus. We read in Acts 4:13, one of my favorite verses, when the Sanhedrin had arrested Peter and John after they had raised the lame man who was at the Solomon's porch, I think it was. But anyway, Acts 4:13. Why don't you turn there? Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. Now that's important. They were uneducated and untrained. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. This is a whole other message here about the subject of how Christ can take a simple person and make someone great out of him, but to bring glory to himself. But I just wanted to make a quick point with this. All it takes is a simple man to write one of the most complex books in the world if he has been with Jesus. There are some seminary professors that still don't fully understand the meaning of Revelation, and many people have studied it, and I don't think we'll ever fully understand the book. Revelation 1:3. Moving on to verse 3. Blessed is he who reads, and to those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Now this is huge. As you read through this book, you'll see all over, over and over again, as the message is being brought to the churches, the Spirit, what the Spirit says, it says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We are to know these things because then we can, know and know what to be prepared for and what to listen to. And then not to make mistakes. Not only hear, but keep what we hear. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Romans 2:13 also says, for not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. Our time here on earth is very brief, and we don't know what state God will find us in when he returns. My hope and prayer is that when he returns and comes back to this earth, that he'll find me serving him and praising him in the way that he's gifted me and desired me to be. He's given you eternity. What will you bring for him in your life? Colossians 4:5 says, walk in wisdom to those who are outside, redeeming the time. Moving on to verse 4 here. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you in peace from him who was, who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. Verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Verse 6, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We have here a greeting, and this greeting comes not only from John, but also the seven spirits which are before the throne. Now, who are the seven spirits? We see here that the word spirit is capitalized, so it can be kind of confusing. To be honest, I can't say 100% sure, but you will see in the letters to the seven churches what I think it means, and I'm kind of quoting a commentary here. This is the Holy Spirit in his sevenfold, that is, perfect, complete, and universal energy. So there are seven churches that they're writing to here, and this kind of illustrates that the Spirit has ability in all of these churches. He's not just confined to one area. Okay. This makes sense to me because there is only one Spirit, and he fills all of us and watches over all of us. Now, if there's a specific spirit, he has universal access to the saints. Ephesians 2:18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Ephesians 4:4. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope of your calling. Then the next verse goes on to say, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. From Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. Now this is something really significant to notice and reflect. Christ was faithful in what he witnessed, and that was the truth that he preached. And Christ was and always will be the most faithful witness that we know. Again, I could make a whole nother message about this too, but I'm just going to bring out a few verses that point out the faithfulness of Christ when he ministered to all of us. No matter what, he was willing to suffer for the sake of his ministry and witness. Why don't we turn all together to Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and raised the third day. Luke 17:25 says, but first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And this is incredible. The disciples were so astounded that they couldn't understand it. He was faithful, he was loving, and the very generations that he came to suffer for rejected and hurt him and killed him. To this day, I marvel that he did it, over 2,000 years later. Why suffer and work to bear witness to a generation who is going to mock you and turn away from you anyway? He, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, and the greatest being in the universe and beyond the universe, for a small handful of people who will hear and believe, but continue in sin anyway? Yes, I mean you and me. You can keep asking yourself all throughout your life, why? Why love such small and worthless people? How much more faithful can he be that he should continue loving us after all we've done to him? Matthew 26:39 says, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Now that is a faithful witness. Are we faithful witnesses for him? But that's not all he did. The next verse astounds us as it goes on to say, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. Me and you? Why us? There is no way that I deserve a title like this. He takes nothing, literally nothing, and in his immortal and immeasurable holiness and powerful and just awe, he makes us kings and priests? Us? If it isn't astounding enough that he came, and then he goes and makes us kings and priests to our God and Father. Wow. Revelation 5:10 says, and has made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. It's no wonder that the creatures in Revelation 4 never rest, singing, holy, holy, holy. And neither should we. Let's turn together to Revelation 4 and just read that passage. Revelation 4. We'll start in verse 8. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before his throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. In one way or another, we should strive to bring holiness, glory, and honor to the Lord. Not for ourselves, but Christ. To say the least, it's the least we can do. He, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, and the greatest being in the universe and beyond it, doing all this for us, we are like little specks of nothing